and go to the next verse, which expands a little bit more upon how you can reach me. So these are the 5 points that Krishna mentions. He says, if you want to reach me, this is what you do. Mat karma krin mat paramaha. Mat bhakta sanga varjitaha. Nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. Yasamameti Pandava.
Yasamameti Pandava.
So we have listed them up there. Mat karma krit. So do activities dedicated to me. Dedicate all your activities to me. Mat paramaha. And make me, the Lord says, make me your supreme goal. Mad bhaktaha means be devoted towards me. We talked last verse about devotion. So again he emphasized the path of devotion. And then he says sangha varjitaha, devoid of attachment. Then the 5th point is nirvaira sarva bhuteshu, with all beings, not only humans, all living creatures, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, he or she has no enmity. Yes, sir. Such a person alone, mam eti Pandavai. O Pandava, O Arjuna, such an individual reaches me who has all these qualities. As I said last week, I had said if this is a simple GPS, you apply these 5 and you can reach me. And this, I don't say it, Krishna himself says. So, you have straight from the horse's mouth or from God's mouth. It's not me or it's not even Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya, but it's the Lord himself who is telling us how to reach him. And there is actually, if you do this, there is nothing more that needs to be done. There is nothing more in spirituality. That's why I keep saying every verse is a masterpiece. You know, you only need to memorize 1 verse. Actually, these last 2 verses, as I had said even before, 54 and 55, memorize them. Swami Chinmayananda says, memorize it, think about it, live it, become one with it. Just memorize these 2 verses and memorize with knowing the meaning. You can't just memorize blindly. Know the meaning and then just remember them every day and just chant them. That's all you need to know. And then slowly bring them into your life. So here we'll just cover briefly this five points. Says activities devoted to me. So all your daily activities, whatever you are doing, I'm doing the Lord's work. If I'm working and seeing my patients or my students or my customers or in my company or as I'm an engineer, I'm working in the field. Whatever job I'm doing God's work. If I'm building a bridge or if I'm, working in a factory or if I'm teaching students or even if I'm doing the dishes or even if I'm vacuuming the floor, I'm doing God's work because this house is where God lives. And if I can clean and beautify this house, I am beautifying His. When I'm taking care of my body, taking care again does not mean that, you spend your whole day and night beautifying and plastic surgery and all that. But when I am taking a bath or when I am, eating, that means God is inside and this food is also God. That's why the 4th chapter, it says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi Brahmagnav Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. So he says this food is God and the one inside is God and the one who is eating is God. So it is God who is feeding God, so that means you see God everywhere in all your eyes. That's why all the religions say grace, before they eat. The idea is that, oh Lord, thank you for this bread and may it nourish me because God is within me. So every activity, people might say, but I am such a, small person. I'm such an insignificant person. How can I, make a big difference? Or how can I do great deeds? So this reminds me of a children's story, but it's so beautiful. It said that when the world was first created, and all the humans were there and the men and women, and they saw the sun rising in the east, and then the sun came and was giving them light. And then they saw it going to the west and setting, you know, behind the ocean, and it's getting dark and dark. And the people started crying, oh, the sun is gone. The ocean has swallowed the sun. And when will the sun come back? And we are going to be in darkness forever. Oh, and they start crying and they're very miserable. And then there was one wise person who, I guess, had learned some physics. And so he said, no, don't worry. The sun is gone, but it will come back in the morning. It needs 12 hours to rest. You know, because it has illumined us, so 12 hours is going to take rest. Of course, those days they didn't know about circling the earth and sun and all that. And so after 12 hours, it will come again. But then they started crying again. Oh, but you know, 12 hours we'll be in darkness. I can't see anything and we cannot work and we cannot function and we are hitting the walls and all. So one man had the idea. He says, you know what? I'm going to light a candle. Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Second person, third person, oh, we'll light a candle. And soon the whole earth, everybody got this idea and everybody lit a candle and the whole earth was bright and brilliant again. So the idea being that not all of us cannot be like the sun. You know, we cannot be like Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda. We cannot be like those. We cannot be Guru Nanak. We cannot be Mirabai or Tukaram or Narsi Mehta. We cannot be these great realized masters. But we can be a little light in our neighborhood, wherever I am. Let me do some service. Let me give some knowledge. Let me help do something good. So that is what they are saying, that wherever you are, in whatever activity you are, be a little light, that I am a light in service of the Lord. And I am have been placed here. And each and every one of us is a perfect creation of the Lord. There is nothing imperfect about any one of us. Even we may have some little physical problems or whatever, or mental problems, but I am a creature who has been created with love. And so always remember that. And my main purpose in life is to realize God, to realize the truth. And through all these activities, through service, through working, I can know Him. And then he said, keep me as the supreme goal. But what we do is, we have multiple goals. You know, we say, oh, give us this day our daily bread. So the first thing we say, you know, give me bread, give me money, give me a house, give me a job, give me a child, give me a new wife. So we are all the time asking, give me, give me, give me, give me. He says, don't forget about asking those little things. You say, I want you. It's like you go to the president of the country, you have done something and he says, you've done a great job for me on my campaign and I got re-elected. So what position you want in my cabinet? What do you want? So you think about it and say, you know, I want to be a janitor in the White House. Now, you know, I mean, he was ready to give you any job. If you are smart, you'll say, I want to be your chief of staff. So I'm with you at all times and I'm involved in every presidential decision. So similarly, when you go to the Lord, don't ask Him for little, you know, puny little things. You know, those will come. If you have done your karmas, they will come automatically. You put the effort. But when you go to Him, you say, I want you. Oh, you are the infinite Lord of the whole universe. Once I have you, then everything else I have. Like Swami Chinmayananda used to say, don't run after Lakshmi. Hold on to Narayan's feet and Lakshmi will come by herself. As those who know this, you know, Narayana or Vishnu Bhagwan is said to be married to Lakshmi, who is the goddess of wealth. And people spend all their life chasing after Lakshmi, you know, money. But he says, hold on to the feet of the Lord and the wealth will come by itself. Lakshmi will come. Once you have Narayana with you, once you have Vishnu Bhagwan, then you don't need to run after Lakshmi. She is there where the Lord is. So that's what he says, that make me your supreme goal, that I want you. I do not want anything else in the world. Yeah, of course, you need, you know, a little bit for your livelihood and you need for your comfort and, you know, or retirement and all. But accumulating or collecting more than what you need just with the idea of greed is a problem. So when you have extra, share it. There is actually a very, very beautiful poem, Kabir Das Ji, he was a great saint. He says this poem, my mother always used to say that. He says, She says, Pani baadhe naav mein, Pani baadhe naav mein, ghar mein baadhe daam, dono haath ulichiye, yahi sadhu ka kaam. So sadhu here does not mean a saint. Sadhu means a good person, a wise person. What does a wise person do? He says, Pani baadhe naav mein. If there is excess water in the boat, or if there's excess money in your house, ghar mein baadhe daam. So if there's extra water in your boat, what are you going to do? You're going to take both hands and throw the water out, right? Otherwise, your boat will sink. If you don't have a container, you'll take both hands and try to throw the water out. So similarly, if you have too much money in your house, that will sink you too. So take your hands and give it, share it. Service is very important. They'll say, oh, if I give the money, then will my money get less? No, it never happens. Because he has unlimited resources. Whatever you give for him, you get much more back. Not only in the spiritual satisfaction, but also in the material world. If you have given for him, he makes sure that he replaces more than what you have. And that is a perfect truth. I mean, that you can experience it very clearly. If you give, it never gets less. Because he says, you know, he says, you do one thing for me and I do 10 things for you. It said that repeatedly. So make me the supreme goal and serve the world as me. So that's what he says, devoted to me. We talked last shloka about devotion is identify, constantly love me, remember me, and do all your activities devoted to me, and see me in all beings. Just as I have been created by the Lord, every one of them is the Lord's creation. Then we said devoid of attachment, and people mistake that, confuse attachment with love. We do not say that you don't love your children or don't love your spouse or don't, you know, love your possessions. It's okay. But attachment means that without that person, I am incomplete, or without that object. When you put your happiness in that particular object or in that person or in that position, you got a position, but you get so attached to that. Oh, I am the president of this company. Or even a little club, you know, I am the president of my PTA association. And we get so attached to these positions that next time, next year, if I'm not re-elected, I get depressed. Or I had a car and I got so attached. And then tomorrow that car was totaled, I get so depressed. Or, you know, children. I mean, yeah, you love them, but attachment is that you constantly dwell upon it. And the child has gone to college and the child didn't call me for 3 days and I start crying. You know, child is fine, you know, as long as, you know, what I say is no news is good news. If they didn't call, that means they're doing fine. So that is called attachment, where you become dependent on that particular object to make you complete. So they say, if you want to be attached, attach to the Lord. Detach from the world and attach to him. So that is what they're saying, devoid of attachment to worldly objects. So attachment means I plus I want. That by having this, I become complete. By not having, I become incomplete. So that is not. We are not saying that you don't love. But you don't only love your child. You know, you love all. Because everybody is God's children. All people are divine. So that is called. So love has to be extended from yourself to your family, to your extended family, to your community, to your city, to your nation. To all of them. So that is called devoid of attachment and enmity towards none. That also is obviously very clear, because God is in all, and he or she, he, all human beings are creation of that one divine father or mother. All have the Brahman or the consciousness in them. So the moment I hate somebody, I'm hating God. But the higher is that they are all me, because I am that divinity and everybody is that divinity. So I am with all of them. They are all me. It's not that I am part of God, but I am that divinity and everyone is me. So like, you cannot say I hate my right leg and I love my left leg more. No, they are both legs I love equally. My right leg hurts, you know, I will massage it, I'll put medicine on it. Even if it gets cancerous and I have to cut it, I'll feel very sorry because I have to lose it. Even the leg is giving me pain, I'll still love it. So when I can love every part of my body as me, for the saints, we are all part of Him. And that's why saints have spontaneous love for all. And they hate nobody. Even when they are being crucified or when they are being tortured by the enemy, they still have spontaneous total love. So that is very important, that see the Lord in all. Do not hate anybody. Do not despise anybody. If somebody has done something bad, you say, well, should I not hate him? So they say, first of all, hatred burns you more than anybody else. But if somebody has done something wrong, you know, you try to avoid that person if the person is continuously bothering you. And secondly, you can say, okay, Lord, you know, it's his karmas. You know, let the Lord worry about him. If I hate him or if I have anger towards him, then all I'm doing is hurting myself. So that's what, and so they say it's a stepwise progression. Once you start doing activities dedicated to the Lord, why? Because he's the goal. Then you become more and more identified with that, with the Lord. You slowly detach yourself from worldly dependence and you depend on him, and then you see everybody as me. So it's a stepwise progression. And this again is a very nice verse which tells us who God is and how one can reach him. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru.